Hello fellow humans, my name is Vlad Bunea and this is Economy for Life. In today's video, I will discuss how the government shutdown exposed the truth about capitalism. I'm not a news channel, so I will not cover the details about the shutdown of the United States government. The bottom line that interests me was how putting a halt on certain government spending did not shut down the stock markets, did not stop companies from making a profit, and it certainly did not stop CEOs from collecting millions in salary.
This is Michael Moore. I am here to make a citizen's arrest of the board of directors of AIG.
The truth about capitalism is that it is essentially a legal regime, not just an economic system. Legal scholar Caterina Pistor argues in her new book that the market economy, labor relations, and the private ownership of the means of production are all legal matters at their core. She defines capitalism as a legal regime that enables the appropriation of collective resources, including the law itself, for private gain. Private law is used by capitalism to dominate others while also protecting practices against state intervention with the help of public law.
I am a corporate defense attorney.
So?
I defend chemical companies.
This tension between private law and public law is what has guaranteed the survival of capitalism even during government shutdown. Private law is the branch of law that governs relationships between individuals, private organizations or companies, rather than between individuals and the state. Public law is the branch of law that governs the relationship between individuals, organizations, and the state, as well as the structure and functioning of the government itself. It deals with issues where the government acts in its official authoritative role. When the US government fails to function at its full capacity, this does not diminish the power of private law to continue to regulate and influence the relationships between economic actors.
Hello, madam.
Outside the public government, the capitalist economy is in reality a large gathering of mini private governments, many thousands of mini fiefdoms, from the smallest to the largest that are worth trillions of dollars. Elizabeth Anderson has explained that the privacy of government is defined relative to the governed, not relative to the state. These many fiefdoms, from the pizza joint at the corner of your street to Amazon, relate to each other through private law. In this sphere of private law, corporations are maintaining a very tight grip of control over their assets and business interests. The bigger the corporation, the tighter the grip, because in capitalism, size matters a lot.
This comet contains $30 trillion worth of material.
What do trillions of dollars matter if we're all going to die?
Oh, no, what if we're rich? That would be terrible.
As we have seen in the video about the obsession with economic growth, the size of a company creates by itself pressure for more expansion of the business. This expansion can only be obtained through private law, which consists of setting up contracts and all sorts of agreements that seek to protect the property of these corporations. In fact, private law has evolved to such an extent that capitalist corporations seek to transform into capital almost every kind of property they come across.
This is a proposed corridor for multiple pipeline projects.
Property can be almost anything that can be possessed by a human, from things to immaterial stuff, such as ideas. When these things become the assets of corporations, with the help of private law, they actually become capital for those corporations. And what is capital? One loose definition is that it is anything that produces something to be sold on the market for money, or something that can produce expected revenues through a market. This arrangement has survived all government shutdowns, all recessions, all wars, and all constitutional amendments in the United States. In fact, today we are living through the most intense phase of capitalism, what is often called neoliberalism. Private law is now experimenting with very sophisticated financial products that very few understand. Cryptocurrencies that literally burn the planet with their need for energy. Smart contracts that are supposed to create more efficient operations. And of course, artificial intelligence that for now it is more a tool for making some humans incredibly rich than actually solving real problems for humanity. Take smart contracts, for example, which are self-executing digital agreements in which the terms are written directly into code.
What do you want done in the next 10 years for Ethereum?
This includes, one, ZK-snarking everything, two, replacing any component that's not optimized with a component that is optimized, placing Ketchak with Poseidon or something better, replacing EVM with RISC-V or something better, making every node ultra-light and verifying it, making privacy a AI default, making every node ultra-light and verifying it, making privacy a AI default part of the experience, some form of self-custody.
They automatically carry out actions like sending payments, transferring assets or verifying conditions when predefined rules are met. They're a form of private law that threaten to make matters even more lopsided in favor of sellers or creditors over buyers and debtors. They work like a train that has left the station and can be stopped only by emergency measures. The payment is made before delivery, and the recipient has now all the burden to challenge the quality of goods and services. Another insidious creation of late capitalism is the idea of legal arbitrage, which continues to thrive even under government shutdown. In finance, arbitrage refers to the idea of exploiting opportunities for profit.
Greed is good.
While guarding against losses, or to the simultaneous purchase and sale of the same or essentially similar security in two different markets for advantageously different prices. When applied to law, the same idea can be expressed as simultaneous securing the law's protection and power for one's own interest while avoiding its cost and constraints. These are just some of the many private legal schemes that are ensuring the endurance of capitalism. More specifically, as I show in my threefold model, these schemes are part of the causal scripted analysis of capitalism. They contribute to the forces that determine the behavior of economic agents. Katharina Pistor argues, and I fully agree with her, that phasing out capitalism must begin with changing its laws, even if that means trespassing on the law. The necessary and inevitable revolution will have to trespass the law, then rewrite it, but in such a way that capitalism can no longer use the legal regime, both private and public, to survive. Some of the recommendations listed by Katharina Pistor include reducing the power of private law to make rules that benefit the owners of capital at the expense of everybody else, creating complementary citizen tribunals similar to juries that are tasked with addressing important normative questions that have to do with the rules of society and questions that cannot be answered in courts. One of my favorite examples is the introduction of an ethical limit on wealth at roughly $5 million. This rule cannot be decided in courts and in legislatures. It is too important to be left to legal experts. Also part of the solution is the human capabilities approach developed by Amartya Sen and Martha Nussbaum, which shifts the focus away from economic measures like income or GDP toward what people are actually able to be and do in their lives. People's real freedoms or their capabilities should be the central concern of development and justice. A person's quality of life is measured not by resources or utility alone, how useful a service or product is to them, but by the significant opportunities they have to lead the kind of life they value. This approach suggests that corporations cannot have the same rights as humans because they lack the capability to value life in the same way as an individual. Let's conclude by going back to where we started, the shutdown of the US government that did not make a dent into the functioning of capitalism. We know that the system has manufactured for itself an ironclad web of laws that protect its interests. So can the election of socialist Zoran Mamdani in New York and socialist Katie Wilson in Seattle make a difference in how the laws of capitalism operate?
But as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity.
The answer is not a definite no, because the forces of capitalism operate from the smallest to the largest scale. So if landlords are banned from the city, if worker cooperatives are helped to get started, if workers are given power to hire and fire their managers, if commercial land is taken out of private ownership and returned to the community, and many other policies are enacted, then yes, the law of capitalism will be transformed. Attacking the three forces of capitalism in your city may be a good beginning for transforming the entire system. Thank you for supporting my research on Patreon and Ko-fi. $5 a month helps a lot. If you enjoyed this video, please click the like and subscribe buttons and comment something below, even if it's your favorite Zoran Mamdani quote. It seems that the YouTube algorithm wants that to show me to other people. Let's replace capitalism with an economy for life. Increase the peace.